We're looking at this morning concerning this, and we're calling it baby wars. Baby wars. Wrestling with God. Because as we begin to look into the life of Leah and her sister, we see that there's a great struggle that's going on between the two. And the way this struggle is being carried out is in the children that they bear. In Genesis 29, we saw that Jacob favored his wife Rachel over Leah. It's an incredible mess. It's been an incredible mess, you know, as we've looked at the book of Genesis and seen how these people that God has used in mighty and significant ways really have messed up lives. Doesn't that give you a little bit of hope? I mean, if God can work with these people, He can surely work with us. Amen? And we have something even more powerful. We have an ever-present Holy Spirit working in us. Amen? And so let's let's believe that God can do the impossible in our lives. It should inspire all of us that having one wife is better than two. I praise God this morning for my beautiful wife. Why don't you stand up, Lydia? And she's definitely glad that I only have one wife. But after having four children, Leah finally begins to look to God for approval rather than her husband. And really, that's what this is all about. Who are we looking to approval for? Who are we really looking to approval for? Is it God? Is it our wife? Is it our husband? Is it our children? Is it our friends? Is it our boss? Who is it? We have an innumerable number of people in our lives that we tend to look to approval for. We want them to think good of us. I think that's a natural tendency, isn't it? We want people to think good of us. But if we're not careful, we can fall into a comparison syndrome that is not healthy for us. And as you look throughout the Bible and throughout time and even your lives, everything really has to do with comparison. You look at our society today, the advertising and everything else that's going on. I can remember when I was just a young grade school kid, how clothes were so important. That you had to look like this person or look like that person. And if you didn't dress like this person, you didn't fit in. And so right from the very outset in our lives, we have this thing ingrained into us to compare ourselves with one another. And then God apprehends us. Amen? And He translates us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His Son. And guess what? The kingdom of His Son, the kingdom of God, has all different kinds of bylaws and rules. And so our mind has to be renewed. We have to put on this new person that is born again after the kingdom of God rather than the world. And it should be after a while that we realize that we don't fit in with that old scheme of things. But Leah and Rachel weren't getting this. They continued with the old mindset. And when you come into the kingdom, you have to realize God has a new mindset for you. You see, it wasn't Jacob's love that Leah needed. She needed God's love. She needed God's approval. And that's what all of us need more than anything else. We need God's approval. You know, I think of Jesus as He began His ministry and He was being baptized by John the Baptist. What happened with Jesus? God spoke from heaven, amen? He said, "This is my Son, whom I love, who I am well pleased with." And I want you to know that God is speaking to each and every one of us today, and He's looking down from heaven, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what you have done, and He says, "This is my Son, this is my daughter, in whom I am well pleased." He says, "I love them." You have His stamp of approval. You don't have to do anything else to get approval before God. You already have it. You see, I try to walk in life always understanding and knowing that, you know what, God? I am your beloved. You love me. Your stamp of approval is on my life no matter how I mess it up. You're still there. And if we can get that ingrained into our hearts, it will sustain us. It will help us win the wrestling matches that come our way. And so I want to encourage you today to look to God for approval rather than man. You see, God loved Leah enough not to allow her to be satisfied with less than himself. I believe it's the same way with us. God loves us enough so that we won't be satisfied with the person that we were, but we'll be satisfied with the person that he is creating us to be. Leah was trying to take Rachel's place. You see, you don't need to take someone else's place. One of the greatest liberating things that ever happened in my life is when I became content with who I was. All of my faults, all of my dysfunctions, everything. And when I began to accept myself, this is who I am, like me or lump it. This is me. This is what you get. And that's what should be in the heart of every one of us. Learning to be content. Learning to accept who we are, because when we accept who we are, then we are giving God a greater amount of liberty to create us in his image. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? Being created in the image of Jesus Christ. And so you don't need to take someone's place. God didn't make a mistake when he made you. Aren't you glad for that? You were not a mistake. You were ordained by God. He saw you before you were in your mother's womb. He had plans for you before you were in the womb. That's an amazing thing. That gives me hope. That says, Lord, I just need to get in touch with what those plans are for my life. And so God's approval is what all of us really need. If Leah would have settled for God's approval, it would have fulfilled her life. But old habits died hard. Here's a slide. Good habits are very hard to establish and very easy to break. Bad habits are very easy to establish but very hard to break. I want to go to a scripture right now. That's a funny picture, I know. I picked it out myself. I feel that I'm not always the most humorous person, so I've got to get some aids up there that'll help out a little bit. And second, I'm going to give you a little secret this morning. You know, I believe a lot of us do a lot of crazy things trying to get healed, trying to do away with the old nature. But here's a video. I want you to take a look at this video. Is this where it comes in? I kind of lost my place here. No, it's not. Okay, I'm sorry. In 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, this is what I want. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You see, here's what happens in our lives. We spend all of our energy trying to deal with our disobedience. And we get nowhere. We really do. We turn on the, you know, we get the white knuckles going, and we're trying to deal with the negative things in our life. Where God says what you really need to do is work on obedience. Work on obeying me. He says, because when you begin to develop an obedient spirit, When you begin to follow the leadings of my Holy Spirit, I will come and I will punish the disobedience in your life. I will deal with the disobedience in your life. I will deal with the bad habits in your life. I will deal with those things. And so if our energy, if our focus is on, you know, Lord, I want to put on the new man. I want to wrestle for the new nature. You see, I'm done wrestling for the old nature. I really am. It's time to wrestle for that new thing that God is doing in my life. And so as I begin to wrestle for goodness, for faithfulness, for mercy, for kindness, and all of the fruits of the Spirit, if I wrestle for these things, guess what happens? As I begin to wrestle and win those battles, there's no room for the old. The old begins to fall away. It begins to lose its significance in my life. And that's what it's all about. Breaking the old habits by putting on the new habits. In Genesis chapter 30 and verse 1, when Rachel saw that she wasn't having any children, she became jealous of her sister. She says, "Give me children or I'll die," she exclaimed to Jacob. In other words, what she's saying, my life isn't worth living. If I can't have children, my life isn't worth living. Maybe you've said something else. If I can't have this car, if I can't have this house, if I can't have these clothes, whatever it may be, my life isn't worth living. Let me tell you something. If that's where your life is at, it probably isn't worth living. We need to say, Lord, if I can't have you, if I can't be your favorite son, if I can't be your favorite daughter, then my life really isn't worth living. And that needs to be where our heart is at, is in Him. And so this verse summarizes the first half of this chapter. If you think beauty is enough, ask Rachel. Leah wanted her sister Rachel's beauty. But Rachel wanted her sister Leah's ability to have children. You see where they're at? They're stuck in a comparison syndrome. You know, years ago, when Lydia and I first got married, we began to get stuck in a comparison syndrome. We were not able to have children. And we saw everybody else, all of our friends were having children and you know, having a wonderful time with their kids. What about us, God? And so we went to the doctor, we did the basic workups, and according to them, they couldn't find anything. And we said, okay, we'll keep trying. <I'm> still trying. No. No, Lydia says, no, we're not trying. But you know, there came a time in our lives where we said, you know, Lord, we don't understand what's going on, but we are accepting your will. We're accepting your purpose. We're giving this thing to you. We're not going to fight it. And after that, I believe that there was a release that came. Not in the way that we expected, but God gave us more children than we knew what to do with. He really has. Over the years, we have had over 20 children in our home that have been a part of our lives. We have had foster children. We have had children that have just come in that weren't a part of the system whatsoever, and we just took care of them. You know, God just began bringing children into our lives in a magnificent way. And we began to see that God was giving us a gift. He was giving us something that was very special. He gave us an ability to have children come into our lives, to love them with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, and then release them. And in the process, there were a couple of them that didn't want to be released. And they became like our own children. We have two sons. One son right now is in the military in Missouri. Our other son's going to college up in Portland. The one son in Missouri is now married, but they are very much a part of our lives. They are like our own blood children. We have been knitted together in a wonderful way. But I wonder what would have happened had we not released that over to the Lord. It would have been a continuous wrestling match that had no ending. I'm glad that wrestling match came to an end. I mean, we've had new wrestling matches that came in a different perspective after that, with a whole new arena of areas that we had to deal with, but there are wonderful things that we had to deal with. The joy that we have received from all of these children is incomprehensible. I mean, it has brought us so much joy and contentment in our lives. It really has, because we resisted the comparison syndrome. And I believe that there's many of you today that are walking in difficulty. You don't have peace. You don't have joy because you have been succumbing to the comparison syndrome. You haven't released those things over to the Lord. And I believe that God is challenging you today to just release these things, to just yield your hearts to Him in a new way. And so, some of you are always looking for that thing, that person that will satisfy you. You see, the key to happiness is being content with who God made you to be. We're happy today because we are content with who God made us to be. And so stop comparing yourselves spiritually. Stop comparing yourselves physically. Stop comparing yourselves materially. And stop comparing yourselves financially. Are not all these areas in which we compare ourselves? You see, every person has their unique gift in God and place in God. And sometimes we get jealous, don't we? And if you go back in the history of the Bible, and you find that jealousy is almost the root of all sin. It really is. And so we need to deal with the jealousy in our lives. What was it that Lucifer got kicked out of heaven for? It was jealousy was the root of that. And so stop comparing yourselves. Here's an interactive question. Go ahead and vote. Okay, 12% of you are in the category of yes all the time. You're still comparing yourself. This message is for you today. 18% of you are sometimes still there. That's over 25%. 63% yes, but not as much as I used to. And then 6% not at all. Praise God for the 6%. But look where we need to go. We have some work to do. We have to get beyond this thing where we're looking to man for approval and that we're looking to God for our approval. So Rachel tells Jacob to sleep with her maid Bilhah so she can have a child vicariously through her maid. I call this season baby wars. Baby wars. Rachel's maid Bilhah, the baby is Dan, meaning judgment. Because of Rachel's own envy, see there it is right there, because of her envy, she viewed this child as a victory and a vindication for her. You know, what we need to understand is that this was a carnal victory. It wasn't a spiritual victory. It was a momentary victory. How many times in our life have we looked to carnal things and had an semblance of victory there, only to see that victory dissipate as fast as it came? And we're left with that empty feeling once again. And so that's what's happening here with Rachel and Leah. They have momentary moments of victory because, you know, I've gained Jacob's favor now. I'm the one that he loves. I'm the one that he approves. But that's not the case. God wants our hearts. And then the next one, Rachel's maid, Bilhah. The baby is Naphtali, which means to wrestle. Relationships in this home have broken down to the point where Rachel openly acknowledges this baby competition between her and her sister by naming the new baby, Wrestle. She says, I have an intense struggle with my sister, and I am winning. She thinks she's winning. She's still losing. She's still losing. Do you get it? She's not winning. In her mind, in her carnal thinking, she thinks she's winning. And really, the enemy comes as a deceiver, doesn't he? He deceives us into thinking that we are winning some of these battles. But if we are fighting these battles in our own strength and our own ways of doing things, we're not really winning at all. We're still losing. Until we come to that place where we begin to wrestle with God in such a way that, God, I want your approval, we won't begin to win. I'm going to show you a video right now of a visual of what's going on in this family. This is the time for the video. That's very funny. But you know the problem is, most of us are just like that dog. We are our own worst enemy. We really are. As long as we begin to focus on self and what self can do for us, that's what happens in our lives. We have this battle. We're consuming all of this energy that produces zilch. That produces nothing. Oh, where we could be in God if we would just focus our wrestling match in the right arena. We need to get in the arena with God, amen? We need to wrestle with God and allow Him to work His calling out in our life, to work His will, to work His purpose, to work His character in our lives. Let us wrestle for something that is of substance. Amen? Get in the right arena with God, and you will see lasting victory in your lives. And so the baby wars continue. In verse 11, Leah's maid Zilpha, she bears a baby named Gad, which means good fortune. Leah's saying, "How fortunate I am." Again, she is deceived. She's deceived as to where her real fortune is really coming from. The wives of Jacob are still using their children as pawns in a power struggle within the home. Leah's lost her peace that was in her. She lost the peace that was in her heart when Judah was born. How many of us have seen people in our lives and even ourselves who have had this great conversion at one time? Our thoughts were converted. We thought our mind was on the path to being renewed and straightened out according to God's word. And then we began to revert back to the old ways, the old way of thinking. And we begin, you know what happens when you revert back to the old way of thinking? You begin to revert back to the old habits. You really do. And you begin to sow a destructive path in your life. But praise God, God is a redeeming God, amen? He says, "I will come and I will make the crooked path straight." And so when we come to that place once again, where we yield ourselves to God, God says, "I have forgiven you, I have cleansed you, I have made you righteous. My approval, my stamp of approval is upon your life, so start walking, get in the wrestling match again with me, and be the overcomer, the conqueror that I have ordained you to be." Because every one of us has been ordained by God to be more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. The Bible says He always leads us in triumph. Isn't that a wonderful thing? When We follow the Holy Spirit when we follow His leading, when we follow the Word of God. And so Leah says, "What joy is mine? The other women will consider me happy indeed." Where's her approval? Other people. As soon as that approval goes away, she's no longer happy. It happens. Leah is more concerned about what other women think of her than anyone else, including God. Leah's deceived because she's basing her happiness on her circumstances. And I would venture to say that there are many of you here today, your happiness is based on the circumstances in which you find yourself. If those are favorable circumstances, then you are one happy person. If those circumstances are going against what you want them to be going in your life, you get down. You begin to sing the blues. You get discouraged. You get disoriented. You lose your step in God. And so what do we have to do? Keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen. Keep looking unto Jesus. Keep our eyes on Him. Walk by faith and not by sight. Keep walking according to faith. Here's another interactive. What concerns you the most? What God thinks of me? What those I care about think of me? Or what anyone thinks of me? And D, I really go back and forth on this issue. Go ahead and vote. Fifty 50% of you are in the right place. What God thinks of you. 4% what those I care about think of me. And 1% what anyone thinks of me. And 44%, this one I'm concerned about, I'll tell you why. Because you have tasted victory. You know how to do it. You know how to walk with God, but there are momentary seasons in which you miss it. In Philippians 3 and verse 16, there's a wonderful scripture. I don't have time to go there. But Paul says, "To the rule that we have learned to walk, let us continue in it." In other words, when you have learned and experienced victory on God's scheme of doing things, learn to walk in that. Continue to walk in what works. If it's not broke, don't fix it. And so if you found something that works in advancing your life in the kingdom of God and putting on the fruit of the Spirit and the character of God that He desires for your life, keep doing it. Amen? Don't allow those seasons in which Satan comes to trip you up to have any kind of an effect in your life, because he will come and try to trip you up. Verse 14. This is a shift now, different concept. One day during the wheat harvest, Reuben found some mandrakes growing in the field and brought the roots to his mother, Leah. And then Rachel, she gets into it. "I've got to have those roots." She begged Leah to give some of them to her. Mandrakes, what are they? They're a root called love apples in the Hebrew. They were thought, and still among some people today, to increase fertility in women. Because Leah has the mandrakes, she knows that Jacob will have relations with her, believing there is a greater likelihood that she will become pregnant. Now, we don't know if the effect of the mandrakes was something biological or if it functioned as a placebo, but the mandrakes seemed to work in the case of Leah and Jacob. And so what we have here going on now, as we look to verse 15, is a real catfight. Leah angrily replied, "Wasn't it enough that you stole my husband? Now you will steal my son's mandrake roots too." And Rachel said, "I'll let him sleep with you tonight." What a bargain. "I'll let him sleep with you tonight in exchange for the mandrake." You see what this is? This is the original Jerry Springer show right here. This is thermonuclear baby wars. Whatever happened to God shall supply all my needs. You see where their focus is at? It's not on what God can do in their lives. It's what on their deceptive ways can manipulate. And, you know, you think these people are really bad. They really got it messed up. But, you know, we do too. How often do we try to manipulate the will of God in our lives? We try this thing and that thing, and we try to get God to agree with us on this level. And God says, you know, I'm not having anything to do with it. He says, my ways are higher than your ways. My ways are better than your ways. My ways will produce what I'm after in your life. And so that evening, verse 16, as Jacob was coming home from the fields, Leah went out to meet him. And she says, you must sleep with me tonight. Leah said, I have paid for you with some mandrake roots my son has found. And so Jacob slept with her. What do you call when you pay someone to sleep with you? You can't have a Jezebel without an Ahab. Where's Jacob in this thing? Where's he at? Where's his leadership at? You see, he's been the one who's been passive under the weight of his own shame. He was the one who publicly rejected Leah. And in verse 17, God answered Leah's prayers, and she became pregnant again and gave birth to her fifth son. And so now the score is 6-4 in favor of Leah. And the baby wars continue. And Leah has another child named Issachar, which means reward. And then she has another child named Zebulun, which means dwelling. And she says, God has given me good gifts for my husband. Now he will honor me, for I have given him six sons. She still hasn't got it. Even though she had it at one point in her life, she still hasn't got it. She's still putting everything on the natural realm rather than the spiritual realm. You see, no human is going to give you enough love to satisfy your heart. It's not going to happen. You can't give birth to enough children to satisfy your heart. You can't make enough money to satisfy your heart. You can't buy enough clothes to satisfy your heart. You can't watch enough sports to satisfy your heart. You know, and looking back, Lydia and I wouldn't change a thing if we could do it all over and have biological kids. We really wouldn't. You see, God gave us a special gift in entrusting us with other people's kids, and we can consider that an honor and a privilege. It's an honor, it's a privilege to be a second mom, to be a second dad to them, and we love them as our own child. We are content with that. And so, it's not going to happen by a human being giving you enough love. It has to come from God and his purposes. And so finally, Rachel has a baby. The baby wars continue. The baby's name is Joseph. It means that he may add. You see, our good bad attitudes, our good and bad attitudes have generational consequences. They really do. Generational repercussions. I want to share you a testimony. A few years ago, at a MAG meeting, when we were still meeting down there in Rockland, Pastor Frank was sharing about putting on the new man, the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm sitting in there, and all of a sudden the revelation of God hit me. Because I'm wondering, Lord, why haven't I struggled over goodness? Why haven't I struggled over faithfulness? Why haven't I struggled over long-suffering and all of these different things? And the Lord says, you know what it is? You are reaping a generational blessing. Your father, look at him. He was a man of goodness. He was a man of purity, a man of holiness, a faithful man. That was my father. And today, I've never struggled over being faithful. Because I'm reaping a generational blessing. And then I began to think, where did he get that from? And I was only 10 years old when my grandfather died, but I have some very vivid memories of him. He was a good man. He would spend hours a day reading his Bible just like my dad does. And I look at my life today and I said, Lord, why do I get so much pleasure out of reading the Word and studying the Word? It's a generational blessing. Now, here's the thing that I want to share with all of you, is that we need to be wrestling with God for a generational blessing rather than a curse. We can break the curse. We can break that generational curse and say, you know what? I want to pass a blessing on to my children. I want to pass a blessing on to my grandchildren. I believe I am reaping the blessing of my grandfather. And I want to say thank you this morning, Dad. You have given me something more valuable than anything in this life. You have given me the character of God. And that is something worth shouting for. Amen? Now the 11th son born to Jacob through Rachel is named Joseph, meaning may he add. Rachel feels she has been vindicated by the birth of one son, but she longs for more to continue the baby wars with her sister. No one would think that this 11th son would end up being the key son, used to further God's redemptive purpose through his family. This is Joseph. We know the story of Joseph, and we're going to hear about it in the weeks to come. Joseph went before the family into Egypt, prepared the way during devastating times. In verse 25, soon after Joseph was born to Rachel, Jacob said to Laban, I want to go back home. And so Jacob has been in Haran with Laban for more than 20 years. Jacob knows that he belongs in the land that was promised to him by God. Laban wants to know what Jacob wants. And so Jacob negotiates a deal with Laban that will build a flock of sheep and goats for himself. But unlike his wives, he does it by placing the increase in God's hands and not his own. Finally, Jacob's getting it. And Jacob is learning to trust God more and more. I'd like to have the musicians come. This morning as we close, I want us to respond to what God is doing. I believe that there are those of you here today that have been wrestling in the wrong arena. And then God is saying, you know what? I have an arena that will make you a winner. I have an arena that will make you more than a conqueror. I want to deal with the comparison syndrome in your lives. So if that's you here today, I want you to stand and just acknowledge before God and everyone else, Lord, I need your help. I need your help in this area. I need to be strengthened in you, Lord God. I need to understand your favor. I'm tired of looking to other people for favor and for recognition in the wrong areas. I only want your recognition this morning, Father. I thank you, God, that you are on the throne, that you are there to help and encourage me today. I want to pray for each and every one of you today. I'd like to have you all come forward. God's blessing will be on your life. That there will be a change that's taking place from this moment on. You're saying, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to make this commitment. I'm ready to put off the old man, the old nature, the old way, the old schemes. I'm ready to put away the lies and believe the truth of what you have established in my life. I'd like to have all the pastors and prayer team members come and just gather around these people. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we look to you today because you are the healer, Lord. You are the one who touches broken hearts. You are the one, Lord, who makes the crooked path straight. God, you cause your word to come forth in our lives that will quicken the areas, that will bring redemption, that will bring peace, that will bring joy, long-suffering, and faithfulness, Lord. You'll bring the place of God in our lives where we can look to you, God, for your favor. God, we're not looking to others for favor anymore. We're looking to you. We thank you, Lord, today. Let's all pray. Just follow me in this prayer. Father, I've come to the place in my life where I'm tired of wrestling against myself. I want to get in the arena, Lord, where you're at. And I want to wrestle for those things, Lord, that are of eternal value. Those things that will bring forth your character, your fruitfulness in my life, Lord. That's what I want today, Lord God. I want to wrestle for you, Lord. I want to be your man. I want to be your woman. I want to be your child. I want to be your son, your daughter, Lord, with your favor stamped upon my life, wanting your approval only. Praise you, Jesus. Bless them now, Lord, in Jesus' name. God bless your people. Let's all sing together this song.